Today's shiur is Masechet Bava Basra, Daf Kuf Ayin Vav. As we be Ezra Hashem Yisbarach, I'm Saim, the Masechet, the longest Masechet in Shas, particularly if, as we have discussed previously, there are opinions that actually say that Masechet Bava Kama, Bava Metzia, and Bava Basra are actually all one Masechet. So certainly we are about to finish the very longest Masechet in Shas. And as we discussed in our previous shiur, the Mishnah distinguished between a milvah b'ksav and a milvah apeh, a milvah that's in writing, a document, versus a milvah that was not committed to writing. And the Gemara now discusses the halacha in this situation. So it says the Gemara, Rav Shmuel Damri Tavayu, but the opinion of Rav and Shmuel both are that milva peh ain't a goy v'loimin ayorshim v'loimin al kuchas. That a milva peh we cannot collect neither from the yorshim nor from the lukuchas. My tama, what is the reason? Shibud alav deraisa. Because the halacha is that midaraisa shibuda, there is no shibud, and therefore we cannot collect from neither. So the Rishonim, Taisus, ask the obvious question that we learned in the previous year, that even though we're learning now that there is an opinion that Shibuda lav d'iraisa, still because Shloitinel delas b'fnei lovin, Chazal said that if somebody made a milva b'shtar, so that a mortgage, a lien, is created on all of the assets of the loiva, and therefore if the loiva were to sell off those assets, the halacha is that they still have a lien on them, and if the loiva has no other assets to pay off his debt with, the halacha is that we collect it from the lekuchas. Ask the Rishonim. We understood in the previous year that there's a difference between a milva peh, where there is not the level of publicity, versus a milva b'shtar, where there's a higher level of publicity. And that's why we explained that by a milva b'shtar, there is a shibud on the properties of the loiva, versus by a milva peh, there isn't. But, as Taisvis, here we're referring to the yarshim. By the yarshim, there is no concept that they're losing, that the lekuchas spent money buying these assets, buying these properties, and if there was a milva peh, they had no way of knowing that there was a lien on them. So that's where we're lenient with those lekuchas. But the yarshim didn't spend any money buying these properties, and since they didn't spend any money buying these properties, the halacha ought to be that even by a milva peh, they should have to pay back. They should have to give up these properties to satisfy their father's debt. Why Rav and Shmuel only saying by a milva b'shtas, so would be the halacha, not by a milva peh? So Taisus answers that whenever one enters into a loan situation of a milva peh, because he knows, as we've been learning, that there is no lien created on those assets for when the lekuchas buy it. He entered into such a transaction well aware of that. And therefore, if he still entered into the transaction with that understanding, the halacha will be that the lekuchas, that even the yarshim, will not be held responsible. The other hand, the Taisus Arash asks that we could make a different argument. He says, lekuchas, when they bought assets in a situation where there was a milva b'shtar, they knew what they were getting into. They knew that they were buying assets that had a lien on them, that there was always a potential risk that those assets would be taken away. The Yarshim, however, didn't take any risk and why should they be held responsible? So the Tosfos Rosh answers, it wouldn't make any sense to treat Yorshim, who didn't spend any money, more leniently than we treat the Lekuchas. And if the Lekuchas have to give up these properties, certainly the Yorshim have to give up these properties. I did see an interesting opinion of the Yad Ramah, that the Yad Ramah suggests that even though we've been learning that even according to the opinion that says Shibuda Deraisa, Shibuda Deraisa is only on real estate. Then there's a Shibud on real estate. But we've always discussed that there is no Shibud created on Metalpon. But he wants to suggest, particularly according to the opinion that holds Shibuda Deraisa, that there's a Shibud with Deraisa, coupled with the fact that the Yorshim are taking over, so to speak, their father's place, that when we speak about a Yorshim situation, not only will be a Shibud on the real estate that they Yarshin, but there may even be a Shibud on the Metaltlin. So says the Gemara again, Rav Shmuel Dam Tavayu, Milva Peh in a Goy Veloyman a Yorshim, Veloyman al Kuchas. A Milva Peh cannot be collected neither from Yorshim from Lekuchas. My Tama, because Shibuda Lav Daraisa. Rabbi Yochanan Reish Lakish, however, are of the opinion that Tavayu, the Milva Peh, Goy Vebein Men a Yorshim, Ben al Kuchas. That even by Milva Peh, the halacha is we collect from the Yorshim Lekuchas. My Tama, Shibuda Daraisa. Because Midaraisa, there is a Shibud. Of course, the Rosh points out that even though we're being so strict with the Yorshim, says the Rosh, that's only in a situation that we know for certain that the father did not pay off this debt. But in a situation where we don't know and perhaps the father paid off the debt, the halacha were to change. Ask the Gemara on the opinion of Rav and Shmuel. Meisvei, we learned in a Braisa. The Braisa says, Achoyfer bar b'shus rabin. If somebody is digging a pit in shus rabin, v'nafel av shor v'hargoy, and as this person, who's doing obviously the wrong thing, digging this pit in shus rabin, an animal falls on this pit digger, and the animal kills the person. Potter, the owner of the animal is not chayiv, because why were you digging a pit in the Rishus HaRabin? The loyoid, furthermore, Shemes HaShor, were the animal to die as this were happening? Yorshim al Habor, Chaim l'shalmei shor l'balav. The Yorshim of the pit, the Yorshim of the individual who was digging the pit, would be responsible to pay the value of the animal. There's a very interesting Chazanish. The Chazanish says, not only in a situation as the Gemara describes, where the animal died, is such the halacha, but even in a situation where the animal didn't die, the halacha is the animal has to be put to death. The reason the animal has to be put to death is because the halacha is that whenever an animal caused a person to die, that animal has to be put to death. But on the other hand, these people are responsible to pay for the value, the yarshim of this bal, of the person who dug the pit, are responsible to pay for the value of that animal. But what do we say here? That even though it's really a milva al peh, nothing's been recorded, yet the yarshim are responsible. Rav and Shmuel began our shiur today saying that if something is only a milva al peh, the Yorshim are not responsible to pay that debt. So the Rosh suggests that the Gemara could have perhaps answered that any time the Torah sets forth the punishment, such as this situation, it's considered a situation of a milva ksuva b'Torah, because the Torah is the one that makes this obligation. However, many Rishonim dispute the Rosh's Pshat, because they say that just because the Torah teaches us a rule doesn't create a situation that it's a Milva HaKsuva B'Shtar. The Torah teaches us a rule, but it doesn't speak to this specific situation, that it should be, because of that, considered a milva haksuva b'shtar. So, the question is, if it's a mil, if, as we're learning now, it's only a milva peh, why would the Yarshim be held, why should the Yarshim be held responsible? Amar Rebbe Lo, Amar Rav, here it's referring to a situation, b'sha'amad b'din. The Bezdin paskind already that this Baal Habor is responsible. As Machloikas Rishonim, how to understand what does the Gemara mean with the Teretz of B'sha'amad B'din. Some explain that since there was Hamada B'din, that creates a situation of a call, of publicity, which, as we have been learning, wherever there's publicity, it's considered like a situation of a milva b'shtar, because that's the unique characteristic of a milva b'shtar. Other Rishonim I saw explain that there's a special din, that once we've come to a point that there was hamada b'din, it is considered halachically in the same category, it is considered halachically in the same category as a milva b'shtar, that there's a lien, that the Yarshim are then responsible to pay for that obligation. Ask the Gemara, how could there have possibly been Hamad Bedin? Didn't the Braisa say Vaharaga Katani, that the person who dug the bar died? So if he died, there was no time to put it, to take him to Din Torah. Answers the Gemara, Amr of Adabar Hava, it isn't that he died, Shasa Trefa, that halachically he's considered like he's dead, but he isn't actually physically dead. He was just made into a trefa, but he's still alive and able to be taken to Din Torah. As the Gemara, V'omer Rav Nachman, Tani Tana, the Braisa, in explaining, the person who was explaining this Braisa taught us that it's referring to a situation, the Meis V'Kvaroi, that the animal fell on top of the person who was digging the pit, and the person who died laying in the pit. So how can we say that he was a trefa? He only became a trefa and was taken to Bezdin. Here it says that the animal fell on him and actually killed him. Answers the Gemara. What happened here is fascinating teretz. Hosam the yasvi dainia apuma debira v'chayvua. The animal fell on top of this person. The person didn't die immediately. So what happened here was, before the person who was digging the bar died, Bezdin immediately came to this bar, had it in Torah, and declared that he's responsible to pay for the shor, and then he died. But since there was Hamad B'din, we now have a situation that he's going to be held responsible. And from here we see, point out to Rishonim, how important it is that Bezdin should do immediately the Din Torah. And they even went out of the courthouse to paskin the Din Torah for a person who's about to die laying in the bar, because Din and Klal Yisrael must be accomplished. Says the Gemara, the halach is, Amra Papa, Hilchus, the halach is, Milva Peh, if we have a Milva Peh, the halach is goyvim min ha-yorshim, v'ena goyvim min ha-lekuchas. We collect a Milva Peh from the Yorshim, even though it wasn't in a document, but we wouldn't go to the lekuchas. Goyvim min ha-yorshim, why do we collect from the Yorshim, even though it's only a Milva Peh? Kadesh Leitin al Dalas b'fnei lovim. Chazal were concerned that people should be anxious to lend money. And if the halacha will be that a person, could lend money, and then if the loiva dies, his yorshim will not be held responsible to pay it, to pay that loan, then people will be reluctant to lend money. So that's why Chazal said that goyva min ha yorshim. But on the other hand, we don't collect from the kuchas, the less the kala, because it's only a milva peh, it's not a bishtar, it wasn't publicized, so we don't want to take away from the kuchas these assets that they didn't that they had no way of knowing that there was a lien on these assets. Interesting, as we complete this sugya, question that comes up is the question of bankruptcy. Our Gemara has been very clear in teaching us that there are certain rules followed in who do we collect from when money is owed. The Gemara distinguishes between milva peh versus milva bishtar. The Gemara distinguishes between whose debt came first versus whose debt came later. The question that comes up is that we know that if chas v'shalom somebody goes bankrupt, the rules are that there are different rules in court. What they do is, number one, they don't take into consideration whose loan preceded the other loan. And besides that, they don't take that into consideration. They also pay a certain amount on the dollar, no matter what. And the question is, how does the halacha view such a situation? So Rav Moshe takes the approach that as far as bankruptcy law is concerned, we say, Dina de Malchusa Dina. Even though Rav Moshe says we don't always say Dina de Malchusa Dina, as far as bankruptcy rule is, because since it affects everybody, we have to say Dina de Malchusa Dina. Other Paiskim disagree. They say that this has nothing to do with Dina de Malchusa Dina. We have to follow Jewish rule. And therefore they say the only way to accomplish a bankruptcy is that the person should accept with a kinyan that he's accepting what the court says. And some Paiskim say even if they accept with a kinyan, it wouldn't work, because who says that it was a kinyan that was done agreeably? He was forced by the court. Continues the Gemara. We learned in the Mishnah, and as we learned in the Mishnah actually is introducing a new type of document. It's a document, not a regular shtar chayv, but it's an IOU, where the loiva writes to the malva, I owe you whatever amount of money. So we learned that such a document, that loch is goyvim nechassim b'nei chayrim, could only be used to collect from nechassim b'nei chayrim. Ask the Gemara b'minei Reb Nosson, Rabbi Reb Nosson Reb Yochanan. Chuch seksav yod bebez namai. What would be the halacha if this IOU actually was Mekuyim and Bezdin? Would that change the halacha? And there are two basic ways that the Rishonim understand the Gemara's question. One way of understanding the Gemara's question is that perhaps a IOU which was actually signed by the Loiva, that was Mekuyim, that was certified in Bezdin, takes on a higher level of shtar, that the halach is that this type of shtar can be used to collect from nechassim mishabadim, or does it not change? Another way of understanding it is that what would be the halach that perhaps since it was mekuyim, since it was certified in Bezdin, it has publicity. And as we've been always learning, what is unique about a malva b'shtar? The unique attribute of a melva b'shtar is that it has publicity. And there's certainly a situation of publicity. And the nafkamina would between these two pshatim is why would be a halacha if it was certified in Bezdin because there was a error, there was an issue around this shtar. If we say that the Gemara's question is that does a IOU that was certified in Bezdin have a different halacha, or does it not have a different halacha, it would make no difference under what circumstances it was certified. However, if we explain that it's the publicity that the Gemara is focusing on, certainly if it was certified because of an error, there will be a higher level of publicity, and there perhaps the Gemara doesn't even have a question that certainly under such circumstances Goyvim and Nechassim Shabbatim. Amalei, so Rabbi Yochanan responded, even if it was certified in Bezdin, the halacha is ene goyve elam Nechassim Necharim, it could only be used to collect from Nechassim Necharim. I asked the Rishonim, how can we even have a havamina that you should collect from Nechassim Shabbatim if there is no clause in the shtar saying that there's a shiba, that there's a lien. So that the Rishonim answer, as we've learned so many times, there's a concept of achrayus ta'asofer, that if there is a lien created, its omission from being stated in a document is not really a halachic concern, because we say achrayus ta'asofer. Masra mechama, asra mechama on this psak, we learned in the Mishnah Masech the Gittin. Shloish Gittin psulim, there's three situations where a get is possum and rabbanim. However, v'mnisis of lat kasha, if the woman got married based on such a get, the child would not be a mamzer. And as the Rishonim point out, even though we learned that Rameyi says, kol ha-mishana, m'metbei yishatobu chazal, whoever deviates from what Chazal said, shivir ha-locha, in Gittin, the child is a mamzer. Chazal, at the same time that they said that rule, said that in these situations, it should not be a situation that if the get was written in this improper manner, the child should be a mamzer. What are these three things? Ve'ilohei, kosmuk sav yodaveinov of Edom, if the get was written by the husband in his own handwriting, but there are no Edom on the get, and the reason such a get is possum drabonon, Rashi says, is that we're concerned if we're going to say such a get is kosher, we also may make a get that's written by a cipher without Edom, which is posel the Raisa. Others, Rishonim, Taisus learns that the concern with such a get is that it's similar to a get that doesn't have a date, and we obviously a get must have a date. Yeshal of Edom, if there are Edom on a get, vein by Zman, is posel drabonim, or Yesh by Zman, vein by Aleid Echad, if there is a date on it, but there's only one witness. In all three situations, Hare'elu Shlosh, you get them psulim. These are all situations where the get is possible. However, Vimnisis, if a woman gets married based on this invalid get, Havlad Kosha. Rav Lozoimer, Apish Einol of Edom, even if there are no Edom, El Shinosna Befnei Edom, just the get was given in front of Edom, the get will still be kosher for goyim and chosim shabbatim. So we see that even though this get is unsigned, its delivery in front of Edom gives it the din of a get, of a full-fledged get. So same should be with an IOU that was later certified that it should have the full-fledged din of a milvah b'shtar. Says the Gemara, we can't compare the two situations. For shani hosom, in the case of the get, the Mishask Siva who the Mishabed Nafshei. In that situation, he intended to make a kiyum, he intended to make a lien immediately. And because it was made to be given in the presence of Edom, so right away there's a publicity around this shtar, and therefore there's a lien created immediately. Whereas an IOU, which certainly until this Kiyam and Bezdin, there is no question, doesn't create a lien, and wasn't intended to create a lien. The fact that later on it was Mekuyam will not create a situation that it should be considered like a Milva Bishtar. And in fact, the Rishonim say that even according to the opinion of Rameya, who holds Edei Mesira Karti, so perhaps he'll say a get that has no signatures, that was only delivered in front of Edom, should be possible with the Raisa. Say to Rishonim that even Rabbi Meir will hold it, but the Evid, we could rely on the Edom Asira. Here too, we speak about a very interesting type of shtar. We speak about a shtar that represents an IOU, that certainly, as we're learning in the Gemara, there's a question, there's no question that such a shtar cannot create a lien on the Lekuchas, cannot create a situation in the Chosim Shabbatim. But as we discussed in our previous year, there is a question if such a shtar can, do we apply the concept of shtar biyotchem iboi? That means, if I write a shtar to someone, I borrow money from, an IOU document, and now afterwards the person says, you owe me the money, and I say, I paid you, would I be believed with that statement of parati, which normally, when somebody's holding a shtar against me, I'm not believed to say parati? The question is, will I be believed here to say Purati? And as we said in the previous year, it's actually a Machlokes Rishonim, where this question comes up in the writing of checks, because ostensibly a check should be could maybe be considered, and the Pesukim can discuss this lahalocha. How does the halocha look at a check? Does the check represent the exact situation that Al Gemara says, that it's an IOU, just my signature attached to it? Or is a check considered an instruction to the bank to pay the money? A number of areas where this question would come up. One area would come up is, we know that Shemitah cancels all loans. If I paid off a loan before Shemitah, but the Malva did not actually cash the check, I paid it off with a check and he didn't cash the check, would that be considered as if I paid him, and therefore certainly that loan won't be cancelled? Or is it not considered as if I paid him, because until he actually cashes the check, he hasn't really received payment? Or what would be the halacha if the bank goes bankrupt and is unable to honor the check? Is it considered as I paid my debt or not? It's interesting to note that in this situation, the Pesukim are more comfortable in applying the concept of Dina de Malchusa Dina, saying that when one signs a check, he obviously has to follow the banking laws of the country, and therefore, whatever rules apply, whatever banking rules apply, we would have to apply. There's some say that even here we don't say Dina Machusa Dina, because Dina Machusa Dina is only applied to situations that are for the welfare of the country. My checks have nothing to do with the welfare of the country. And here too, the question is, if I gave a check, would I be able to say Purati or not? Here too, many Rishonim take the position that we should follow civil law in being able or not being able to say Purati when a check was given. Our Mishnah continued discussing the halachas of an Arav, of a guarantor. And the Mishnah spoke about a guarantor that signed in the shtar versus a situation where he signed before the signature or after the signature. Arav hayoytzel achi chisum shtaris. Amar Rav, kodem chisum shtaris, if the Arav is signed on the document before in the body of the document on top of the signature of the Edim, the halachas goyim m'nechas m'shibadim, then you could collect from the guarantors even nechas m'shibadim. However, if the guarantor is only signed l'achah chitum shtaris, below the signature, the halacha is goyim m'nechas m'nechayim. We could only collect from the m'nechayim of the arif, of the guarantor. Whereas zivnan amar Rav, other times Rav would say, I feel koydim chitum shtaris, that even if the arif is signed on top of the signature of the edim, the halacha is ein agoyim elam mechasim nechayim. We only can collect for the nechasim nechayim of the arev. Ask the Gemara, kasha the Rav of the Rav. Here it says that if his name is on top of the signatures, we could collect even from the his nechasim shibadim. And here it says we could only could collect from the nechasim nechayim. Answers the Gemara like kasha. Hadik sabay uplani arev, hadik sabay uplani arev. It makes a difference how the shtar is written. If it has a vav, so then the commitment of the guarantor is connected to the rest of the shtar, which we've been learning. There's a lien on lekuchas. If it doesn't have a vav, then it's considered an independent statement, and there is no lien on the arvs nechasim shabbatim. Rabbi Yochanan, however, Rabbi Yochanan says, echadze vechadze, it makes no difference what the situation is, where the arvs commitment stated. We could only collect from the nechasa b'nechayrim of the arev. V'afagav the ksibei uplani arev. Even if there's a vav which connects the arev's obligation together with the arev's obligation together with the rest of the shtar, it doesn't change, it seems, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and we only could collect for the Bnei Chayim of the Arif, not for the Mishabonim of the Arif. Masav Rava, as in this Rava, it says in a Braisa, Eidim Chasuma Hashel Shalom Beget. If we have a very interesting situation, that in a get, the husband, besides asking that the body of the get, the text of the get, say whatever the text of a get says, he also asked that it should say in the get that he's sending regards to his wife. And the witnesses sign below that, the halacha is the get is possible. Why? Because Chashina, we need to be concerned. Shema Ashay L'Shalom Chasmu. The signatures are only a signature on this message of regards, not on the rest of the get. Vam Rabavu, L'day Mefarshel M'nei D'Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan explained to me the following. She'ilu, if there's an independent sentence where a husband is sending regards to the wife, we say that the get is possible, because we say that the signatures of the Edom are only going on that sending of regards. However, if it's Vishilu, if there's a Vav, so there seems to be a continuation of the get body, and that the get would be kosher. So, Hachinam, so here we see that there's a difference if there's a Vav, connected to the previous statement or not. How could Rabbi Yochanan disagree with that? And so Gemara Hachanam, when Rabbi Yochanan said that the Gad and Tor is not going to be obligated, that his Nechos Mishabodim will not be obligated, the Ksir Ploini Arif, without the Vav. Asked the Gemara, Yochanan and the Rav. So Rav and Rabbi Yochanan saying the exact same thing. That if the Arev's obligation is connected to the rest of the Shtar, then we'll collect from the Nechosim Mishabodim. If not, we'll only be able to collect from the Nechosim B'nai Chayim of the Arev. So isn't this the exact same point that Rav makes? And so the Gemara, indeed. Ema, what we should say is, V'chein Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Not that Rav and Rabbi Yochanan disagreed, but actually, on the contrary, Rav and Rabbi Yochanan are in agreement. Ask Tosfos a gevaldige kasha. Here the Gemara says that if there is no Vav by a get connecting the first part of the get that says that the husband is divorcing the wife with the second part of the get that says that the husband is sending his wife regards, we need to be concerned that the Adam's signatures are only referring to the regards, not to the get. So why shouldn't the same din be as Tosfos in a situation where we have a shtar chayiv, that the loiv is obligated, and besides that the loiv is obligated, we also have the orev is making a commitment? Why should we say that the signature of the edim is only on the second part, on the commitment of the orev? Answers Tosfos a beautiful teretz. When you have a get, and the first part of the get is a divorce, and the second part is that the husband's sending a regards, so these two sentences actually contradict each other, and because they contradict each other, so there the halacha is that we say that perhaps the signature of the Edim is only on the second part, on the regards, not on the get. Here, however, we have a guarantor and an obligation. They complement each other. They're all speaking about the loiva's obligation, and therefore we don't say that perhaps the signature is only on the second part, on the obligation, and not on the first part. Says the Gemara, Maisa Bal Lefnei Rabbi Shmuel. There was a situation where something came in front of Rabbi Shmuel. We saw in the Mishnah, Machlokes Rabbi Shmuel and Bananas, a situation, when is an Arav committed and when not, and to what degree is he committed. Amar Rabba, Rabba Chana, Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Afa Pi Shekiles, Rabbi Shmuel Bananas, even though Rabbi Shmuel praised Bananas, halacha kamoisoi, the halacha follows Rabbi Shmuel. Now Rabbi Shmuel in the Mishnah, in the Mishnah, spoke about a situation where if I was walking on the street and I saw my friend being pressured to pay off a debt, and I took on the obligation to pay for him, that Bananas says I wouldn't be held responsible in those situations. Ibailu, ask the Gemara, B'chanuk, ma'o amalei Rabbi Shmuel. What would Rabbi Shmuel hold in such a situation? Toshma, Dom Rav Yaakov, Om Rav Yochanan, Cholok Rabbi Shmuel at B'chanuk. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees in that case, and even in such a case, Rabbi Shmuel says that the Orev would be responsible. Ask the Gemara, Halach Kamaisa and Halach Kamaisa. Does the Halacha follow Rabbi Shmuel on that? Toshma, the Chiosa Rovin Om Rav Yochanan, Cholok Rabbi Shmuel at B'chanuk. Rabbi Shmuel disagrees with Ben Anas regarding the situation where somebody is strangled and the Orev accepts upon himself this responsibility, that the responsibility of the Orev is considered a full-fledged responsibility, and that indeed is the halacha, that it's considered a commitment that the Orev would have to honor. So ask the Rishonim, if Rabbi Shmuel always is disagreeing with Ben Anas, why is he complimenting him? Why is he praising him? So they explain, because he does, as we'll see in a minute, agree that that this commitment is not a regular situation of an Orev, and he's going to have to make a kinyan. So we see that he somehow, to some degree, does agree with Ben Anas's svara, and that's why he praised him. Amar Yehuda Mishmu, Chanuk, in the case where the guarantor agreed to this because the loiver is being strangled, the Kana Miyadai, only, as I just said, that he made a kinyan, then the halacha is that the Orev is obligated to pay his pledge, Mishtabit. Michlal, obviously from here we see, the Orev Alma, under regular situation, Orev loy by Kinyan. He doesn't require a Kinyan. Or Pligid Rav Nachman, which disagrees with what Rav Nachman said. Domer Rav Nachman says, Orev the Bezdin, an Orev in Bezdin, two pshatim in the Rishonim, what does an Orev the Bezdin mean? Some Rishonim say it means an Orev that accepted his obligation in Bezdin. Others say that Orev the Bezdin means an Orev that was appointed by Bezdin, loy by Kinyan. Haba Alma, under normal circumstances, according to Rav Nachman, every Orev by Kinyan. However, says the Gemara, Orev b'shas matmoyes, if somebody accepts upon himself to be an Orev at the time that the loan is being made, the halacha is loy by kinyan. He doesn't require kinyan. Achmat mos, but if that commitment was made not at the time of the loan, the halacha is the boy kinyan. That a kinyan will be required, even according to some Rishonim, if the Orev is signed on the document. It won't change the requirement for the Kinyan. Other Rishonim explain that if he signed on the document, then a Kinyan is not required. And yet a third opinion I saw in the Rishonim is that if he didn't accept upon himself this obligation at the time of the loan, then both a Kinyan and it be included in the Shtar are required. Or of the Bezdin, but an Orev of Bezdin, the two pshatim that I just gave, what Orev of the Bezdin is, loy by kinyan. Why? The Bahi Hanah de Mehemele, with this Hanah, with this feeling that the Bezdin trusts me and appointed me to be the Orev, Gomer Mashabadlei, that is how I become fully obligated, even without a kinyan. And even certainly without it being included in the Shtar. However, points out the Chazon Ish, this concept that a Gemara teaches us, the Behi Hanor, with this good feeling, it creates a Kinyan, which we've seen this concept in other places, says the Chazon Ish that we have no right to apply this concept by ourselves. We could only apply it where Chazal apply it, that and not just come up with this kind of a svara on our own. As we finish our Masechta, here our Gemara teaches us the concept of Orev the Bezdin. And the Mefarshim applied this concept. We know that the Gemara says that when Klal Yisrael accepted the Torah, the question was, who will be our Raven? Who will be the guarantors? And Klal Yisrael B'neinu, our children, will be the guarantors. The question is, how could I appoint someone else to be a guarantor? The answer is that it's like Al Gemara says, Sayyidina Mefarshim, our children are Arav the Bezdin. And an Arav the Bezdin has a whole different concept, has a whole different level of Arevis, where the regular rules of a guarantor don't apply. Similarly, they say, Chas v'Sholem, the Gemara says that the Tzadikei Hadar on the Tfosim, Bavoin Hadar, they're punished for the Averis that the people of their generation do. They're considered the Arevim, they're considered the guarantors. And the same question comes up, whom they never accepted that upon themselves. But again, the answer is that they're appointed by Bezdin, Bahi Hanor, the Bezdin appoints them, that's how they become the Arevim. As we end our Masechta, the Siyata D'Shmaya, the Mefarshim point out that we learned in our Mishnah in the previous year that the Gemara, that the Mishnah spoke about Haroitz Shiyachim Yasik B'dinei Mominis. What is our Mishnah, what is our last Mishnah and last Gemara of this Masechta teach us? It teaches us a very, very important lesson. To understand that say the Moed, Hilchus Yontif, Hilchus Shabbos, Kotshim, Taharis, a subject to Halacha, is something that we could all very easily understand. But our Masechta, the Masechtas that we're learning now, Masechta of Basra, that really speak about Dinei Mominis, that speak about business transaction, they maybe shouldn't be subject to special Halacha. As we spoke before, we just follow perhaps secular law. But of course we know that that's not true. Halacha, Torah, permeates every aspect and every element in our lives. Haroit Sheshiachim, a Jew has to realize that Chachmas HaTorah applies the Yasek B'dinei Mominis, even applies to the Dinei Mominis of our, even to the mundane business affairs that we conduct in our lives. But not just that. There's a concept of Arv the Bezdin, that we have to follow what Bezdin tells us. We have to follow what the Rabbonim and the Manhigei Hador explain is the Halacha. And that is the connection of our Masechta that we now complete, Masechta Bava Basra, with Masechta Sanhedrin that we, Mitzvah Shem, were beginning. Sanhedrin that we recognize that the Sanhedrin, the Das Torah, is what we have to follow in every aspect of our life. But one more vart as we finish our Masechta. 6 months of learning together such a beautiful Masechta. The Masechta began with people who wanted to make a mechitza. Two neighbors that want to build a wall between each other. They want to separate from each other. But our Masechta ends with the concept of Orif, how one Jew agrees to be the guarantor for another Jew for his loan. Haroi Chanuk, as we discussed in the Gemara and the Mishnah, I see my friend being strangled that he doesn't have the ability to pay, and I take upon myself to pay his debt that he should no longer be in such trouble. It speaks about the Achdus, the feeling of Klal Yisrael. We begin Chas V'Shalom sometimes with Machloikis, but we have to end the Masechta, and that will be the end of the Tzaras of Klal Yisrael. When Klal Yisrael will be the Achdus with each other, there will be Achdus with the Torah, there will be Achdus with the Gedolei Yisrael, there will be Achdus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that Achdus will lead to the great day for Hayu Hashem Echad V'Shmai Echad. We should all together be Zoichte that day, the Karev. Hanoloch get Poshut, Tzichloch Masechta Babasra, Hanoloch get Poshut, Uslikoloch Masechta Babasra, Hanoloch get Poshut, Uslikoloch Masechta Babasra.